Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in Matthew chapter 2. And the scripture says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem, and it went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Of course, this is the account of the wise men that we see in our Christmas story. And technically, chronologically, this didn't happen precisely, you know, the evening that Jesus was born. This happened a little bit afterwards as they were traveling. But this is also connected with that Christmas story, because they were searching for, what were they actually searching for? For this child, where is the newborn King of the Jews? They're looking for a newborn. They're looking for a newborn child who is the King of the Jews. And, you know, again, we think of Christmas time and a lot of the things that we even just celebrated this morning with communion. The first thing we think of is Jesus Christ, the first Christmas gift ever given. God so loved the world, he gave. And he gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful testimony. A man in his 90s, just as he's ready to pass from the earth, calls upon the name of the Lord and is saved. Much like that thief on the cross, it's not of works. It's a gift. It's a gift of grace, and to see that. And you know, that gift of Jesus Christ is given to every person in the whole world. Christians are simply the people who've chosen to open up that gift and receive the gift of eternal life. But God's willing that none should perish. That gift was given to everybody. And it's such an amazing truth. We as believers, we've opened that gift. We've tasted that the Lord is good. We've experienced eternal life. But that is really the good news that we have for people. That gift belongs to you. Praise God. But also, ironically, when you think of Christmas time, not only was Jesus the first gift ever given to us, but Jesus was the first person on earth to receive gifts as it related to Christmas. The first Christmas gifts that were ever given were given to the Lord Jesus Christ: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They worshiped him, and they gave him of these treasures. Who are they looking for? The newborn king. This is who these gifts were for. It was the occasion of his birth that these gifts came. It's a profound thought to think that Jesus was the first one to really receive these gifts. And, you know, sometimes I remember the first time I heard the song, The Little Drummer Boy, kind of hear it around this time of year, and I thought, you know, Shall I play for him? Pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. I'll play my best for him. Mary nodded, and the ox and lamb kept time, I guess, while he was drumming. It must have been some seriously, he must have been in the zone to get the animals keeping time with him. And so then he smiled at me and my drum. Now, you think of that story, and the little drummer boy is not in the Bible, okay? But the idea of the little drummer boy is in the Bible. It's right here. We think of Christmas, God gave, but also Christmas was giving to him. There was a giving, there was a blessing the Lord. We know what it's like to be blessed by God, but when you realize in turn, you can also bless the Lord. You know how it is this time of year when it's Christmas time and you've probably got some gifts bought or have in mind for somebody. And Christmas is exciting because more excited than you might be about what you might be getting or receiving, you're excited for somebody to open that gift you know that they're going to get. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. There's a blessing time at Christmas we can experience, like these wise men, of giving to the Lord, of blessing the Lord. Okay? And sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we are made in the likeness in the image of God. And God, like us, can be blessed and be moved when we do things. You've noticed that you've got the power of life and death in the tongue. You have the ability to bless people. It could be a word, it could be a gift, it could be a kind act. You have the power to bless people, to move them to a place of appreciation. You have that power with God. You have the power to bless the Lord. That's pretty exciting. God, to think of that, that we can actually bless the Lord. In fact, you can give some things to God that will make him say, wow, thank you, child. I've always wanted this from you. Now, it's important to realize, too, that we get excited. We get moved. There's emotion involved when it comes to gift giving and receiving gifts. Why do we have those emotions? Why are we moved? Because we are created in the likeness and the image of God. Emotional does not equal unstable. Emotional is something that Jesus was on this earth. You can look and study his life. There were times when he was moved with compassion. There was times when he rejoiced. There was times when he got angry. There was times when he wept over Jerusalem and wept at Lazarus. He experienced emotion. And we got to realize that we can bless the Lord. We bless him in a way that moves him, that touches him. To see that, to appreciate that. But you might think, well, how can I really bless? How can I really, surprise the all-knowing creator of the universe? And what we've got to realize is that he knows everything. He's omniscient, all right? It's true. He knows everything you're going to say or do. But his foreknowledge is not a spoiler alert for whatever you have in your mind to bless him with. It doesn't ruin it that he already knows ahead of time. Blessing the Lord is not about surprising the Lord. It's about deliberately giving something to him from your heart. Where your heart is, there is your treasure also. There's a treasure that you can give to him deliberately. Do you know you have this ability too? With your foreknowledge? To still be blessed? Have you ever watched a movie over and over and over again? Where, when it comes to that movie, you're virtually omniscient. You could quote it. You know the backstories of the actors in it. And yet you still get to that part and you start tearing up all over again. Foreknowledge doesn't prohibit you from being moved. Love in real time moves. It's powerful. It's just deliberately giving love in a way that moves. We can bless each other and we can bless the Lord. We can give with that sense of deliberation where we're just on purpose doing it. You think of Jesus. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the earth, right? Been knowing all along this is going to happen. They get coming up to Jerusalem toward that Passion Week. He's saying, look, guys, this is what's going to happen. Son of Man's going to be turned over. To then Gentiles, they're going to mock him. They're going to beat him. They're going to crucify him. But on the third day, he's going to rise again. He'd tell them that. He's been knowing it. Foreknowledge. But yet when Gethsemane happened, he was moved. Sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. In real time, when real time love played out, God was moved. When there's a doing of what there could be foreknowledge about, it's not whether there's foreknowledge or not foreknowledge. It's doing what you know that blesses and moves the Lord. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works he's ordained you to walk in. And when you walk in them in real time, God is moved. We saw that even just, I think, of Carrie's testimony. Yes, God knows everybody who's going to ever ultimately call on his name. He knows that. And yet when it happens at that moment, the angels in heaven in real time rejoice. We have the power to bless the Lord. We can be deliberate about that. This morning, the message is simply presenting our gifts. All right, we've got a powerful scriptural precedent. Those wise men blessed the Lord. They worshiped him and blessed him. And that's what I want to do this Christmas season. Of course, the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. So I'm not talking about this as a once a year thing, but I'm talking about this as a deliberate thing. We love our families and friends throughout the year, but yet we use the Christmas season as an occasion to bless them in a special way. Well, as the wise men did, I'm going to give you some ideas about how we can intentionally bless the Lord. Sometimes we hear the old adage, what do you give someone who has everything? You know, figuratively to apply to certain people. Well, this is a literal case. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's the one who has everything. Cattle on 1,000 hills, however you want to say it. And yet, there are things we can give him. There are ways we can bless him. So think of this morning as kind of a Christmas idea list of different ways that we can bless the Lord this year. And when I'm talking about blessing the Lord, I'm talking about this is something between you and him. This isn't street corner stuff. This is secret place stuff. This is where you and him are going to have a special gift giving. These are some things. You know, there's things you can't get. There are things you get in the corporate presence of God on a Sunday morning or as we gather that you can't get in the secret place. But there are things in the secret place you can't get in a corporate sense. There are special blessings in the secret place. For one thing, in a corporate service, you were kind of restricted to the flow of the service and time and all that stuff. In the secret place, you're not. You have total authority over your little service with the Lord. If you just want to worship for 2 hours, you can worship for 2 hours. If you just want to just read, you just there's something there that you have with you and the Lord. I remember Danette Hatch, praise God, our dear sister. She'd just look at me. Sometimes she'd come through that door and she'd have that gleam in her eye and said, "Man, I just had I'm Jesus jazz. I had like 5 hours just hanging out with him and just like, oh yeah, Danette, yeah, praise God. Go. There is stuff that takes place in the secret place between you guys. And this is what I'm talking about in the message this morning. I want my heart is for you to see God as a person this morning who is capable of being blessed and moved by what you do for him. In the same way you can anticipate what you're about to give that person, what they're about to unwrap, and with the anticipation of their being blessed and moved, you're going to have that same anticipation. I'm going to give something to God that I know is going to bless him and move him. Praise God. There is no greater joy. Praise God that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So let's go ahead. Here's some gift-giving ideas, we'll call it, this morning as it relates to presenting our gifts. First of all, there's a gift of true worship. It's a gift that he seeks. This is on his list, all right, of gifts that we can give him. The gift of true worship. And we see Jesus talking to the lady. This is the lady at the well. It says, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." So here's one of the gifts that we can give: spirit and truth worship. There is a worship that goes up that God receives, that really blesses the Lord. Here's a great account of Jesus finding some true worship. And this is as he was getting ready to, heading toward the Passion Week. It said, "Then as he," Jesus, "was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said unto them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" Think about what was going on here. There was an act of true worship. And Jesus didn't say, "Aw, okay, come on, guys. Aw, shucks, really, you don't have to." No. He is God, and he is worthy. And he was blessed. You can tell Jesus is blessed. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Think of his mission, save the world, and to hear them echoing the word of God. It blessed Jesus to where he said, "If these should keep silent, the stones would cry out." He received their worship. Isn't that good to know? When I'm praising, when I'm worshiping God, he's receiving our worship. Praise God. We are so blessed at Door of Life. We have got a phenomenal praise and worship team in this church. I mean, it is amazing. Each of them extremely talented at their certain gifts. But even in their talent and their abilities and all that stuff, it's so secondary when they come up here. Because beyond talent, they're primarily worshipers. Each of them are a worshiper. And they get up here and you can kind of see that gleam in their eye. They're not pushing you in the presence of God. They're leading you into the presence of God. They're going there. Like Jody used the word invitation. There's an invitation to come, But with or without you, they're going in. That's worship. I'm going in. And whether it's not about what people did, it's spirit and in truth. Those are constants. And so I'm going to worship you, Lord. And I've been at different points and times in praise and worship. It's like, they're in, and it's like, okay, now I'm going in. You might not go in exactly when they go in, but they're there, they're in, and you just see even toward the end of the service, there's just more people and more people are coming in. There's a spirit and truth worship. This is where there's a blessing corporately that we have. You experience that manifest presence of God, and it's praise God. I'm going in to the presence of God. The words that we speak on those, these slides are true. It's spirit and in truth. We're declaring things that are true, that are right, and there's power in that. And there's worship. And you realize that when we're doing that by faith, he's receiving that praise. It is blessing the Lord. It is ministering to him. It is something that is such an amazing thought. I'm being blessed as I'm worshiping him, but there's something about that. He seeks that worship. That worship in spirit and in truth. And it's something that is so much from the heart. Where the treasure is, there will your heart be also. Just declaring those things. And as you're declaring things, it can be declaring things that are true about him. You are holy, you're righteous, you're just. It can be things that are true about you because of his love for you. You know, your name still, the waves and the wind still know your names. I can let go of my soul. I can put my trust in you. You're declaring things that are true, things that are true in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit's saying yes and amen. There's a blessing you receive, but there's a blessing that he receives as you're worshiping him. Here's another, I think, beautiful illustration of an example of spirit and truth worship that comes out another way. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who's touching him, for she's a sinner. And he, Jesus, turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. What is this? This is an act of worship. She just humbled, and this, she's worshiping the Lord. He seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. He found another one right here. This woman was just worshiping him, not because she was holy or righteous, but she loved and honored and recognized God. And she humbled herself under the mighty hand of God. And what happens when you humble yourself? Grace. He gives grace to the humble. And the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And when she humbled herself, he used that authority and forgave her sins. On right there, in front of them all, this nameless woman, sinner, is the only connotation that we have with her. Worship the Lord in spirit and truth. When I see this story, I think, when I'm worshiping God, I want to have this heart. I want to have this kind of a heart that says, Lord, I see it, I get it, I appreciate it. You know, we can stop and just rejoice that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and just give God glory for that. There's something about that. God receives that. You know, there's you think of the story, too, of Jesus and the 10 lepers. He healed 10 lepers, and one came back to say thank you. And he received that thanks. He said, your faith has made you well. It's a big deal to God when we recognize and appreciate his blessings in our life, when we say thank you. A lot of times that is what we're doing. You know, your Christmas gift, you know, in the secret place this year could just be to say, Lord, thank you that you saved me. Thank you for saving me. I'm coming back to say thank you. Lord, I appreciate my salvation. I rejoice on purpose right now in this moment. In real time, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you. In real time, he receives that. And he's blessed. But I've been knowing that theologically. It doesn't matter that you've been knowing it. It doesn't matter foreknowledge. All that matters is a present, active giving of thankfulness and appreciation. There's such a power that appreciation, thanksgiving has in our life. And that's a big part of it. It's where we're just on purpose saying thank you to the Lord, worshiping him. Another gift that we can give the Lord this Christmas season, as we're thinking about gifts for the Lord, faith. Faith is a gift that pleases him. There's something about faith that pleases God. Hebrews counts as faith lifted Enoch from this life, and he was taken up into heaven. He never had to experience death. He just disappeared from this world because God promoted him. For before he was translated to the heavenly realm, his life had become a pleasure to God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Here's another big one. You know, we think of Thanksgiving. We kind of get that one. All right, praise God. He understands worship and giving from our heart. But there's another kind of gift, a blessing, a way that you can please God, that you can, think about that, give pleasure to God through something that you can do in real time, Again, he knows everything, but when you do it, when you simply see it and do it and obey, there's faith and there's something that blesses God in that. Here's a great story to that point. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is laying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Then when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." Then Jesus went to the Roman officer, "Go back home, because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. So here's something where you see Jesus. I mean, you can see it. I like that word. He was amazed. There's something that pleases God about when we say, "Only speak the word." That pleases him. We can learn, we can grow in our faith, we can understand the promises of God and all those different things. But there comes a point in time when you can, as an act of faith, deliberately say, "Okay, Lord, I know that you don't want me to worry about this. I know, you know, I don't know what's going to turn out. I don't know how this, you know, what's going to happen here. I'm confused, but I know what you've said. Be careful for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes your understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." You hit some of these points to where it's like, okay, I can't figure this out, but nevertheless, it's your word. My gift to you this morning, this is my gift to you, Lord, this season. Maybe it's a care you've held on to. The Spirit has been drawing you to cast that care on him. But this Christmas, you could take that care, say, "Okay, Lord, Merry Christmas. I'm going to cast this care on you at your word. I'm going to cast my care on you, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to let go of my soul. The wind and the waves, they still know your name." And when you take that care and you cast it upon him, your care literally becomes a gift in his hands. It's a gift of trust that you're giving to him. Say, "Okay, Lord, here it is, this one." And that's when he might say, "Wow, thank you, child. I've always wanted this from you. Thank you. You're going to give this to me." A deliberate giving, a deliberate trust. There's something about when we don't have we're not pushing buttons and pulling levers. All we've got is our trust in God. There's something about that that pleases the Lord, that letting go your soul. That's a Merry Christmas to the Lord. There are things that you say, "Lord," you can pray the prayer, "What do you want for Christmas this year, Lord?" He might show you some things. He might show you some things that he wants from you. In your hands, they're cares. But in his hands, they're precious gifts. Gifts of trust that please him. And what do you get in exchange? Peace that passes your understanding. A peace that just keeps your heart and mind in him. And he's so blessed when he sees you operating like that by faith in him. There's such a blessing. I love another, here's kind of another, just an example of humbling yourself and trusting him. Jesus left Galilee, went up north to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's bothering us with all her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children, or the children's bread, and throw it to dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." and her daughter was instantly healed. Wouldn't you have just loved to see the expression on Jesus' face after she said, even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps? It's like something. You know, at first, he wasn't even paying attention to her. She said that, and ultimately, she humbled herself, and she received, her faith was great. You know, there's a lot of stuff you got to get past to be able to say what she said in verse 27. She had to get past herself, her pride, all kind of things. And all she knew is she wanted her child to be whole. She wanted her child to be set free. This wasn't about her then, was it? Her daughter's healing wasn't about her at all. She was completely removed from the equation. It's just about my child. Whatever, Lord, whatever. There's a place God will bring you to where it's like, Lord, this is just about, I love you, I trust you. Your faith is great. Her request was granted. She humbled herself under God's mighty hand. There's going to be times too when you're wanting something and there's process that goes along and it's saying, Lord, here it is. This is something that I want. This is something that I'm trusting you with. You know, it could be something that you need, and there's where it is, a trust, Lord. I'm putting this in your hands. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do, but this is in your hands. I'm not going to worry about this. And when she did that, her faith was great. Her request was granted. But Jesus saw something in her. He saw a humility. He saw a love. He saw a determination, and he blessed it. It pleases God. There is just something about that. And so the gift that pleases him, faith, there's going to be some things this Christmas season that the Lord might just ask. You know, or you ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want from me? I want to give it to you. I want to humble myself. I want to bless you. Jesus was blessed by this woman when she said what she said. And it's not like he was playing hard to get. He knew what was going to happen. He knew her heart. He said what he heard the Father say. He didn't say anything right away because the Father didn't give him anything to say. And then he said what else the Father told him to say. And so he's doing what the Father's showing him to do. And there's things that God will have you do. Praise God. You just continue to follow after him. He's going to make it clear. But we walk by faith and not by sight. There's things that we don't know. There's things that we don't understand. And a big part of walking by faith is declaring, you know, I don't understand everything, but God, you don't have to be vindicated. I trust you. I just need more understanding. In the meantime, I'm just walking by faith this Christmas season. Because this Christmas season sometimes is about stuff that we don't know why. Things that we don't understand. Our why God questions can kind of come down here. And this is where we're saying, by faith, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you no matter what. So there's a faith that pleases God. Sometimes that faith that pleases him is in the middle of your stuff when God looks like the bad guy. Because you did what you were supposed to do and stuff still happened. Sometimes your biggest Christmas gift to the Lord is to say, Lord, you are good and I love you and I trust you. I don't see everything. I don't understand anything, but I want to give you something, Father. I want to declare that my faith in you is in you. And there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Hardship, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Merry Christmas, Lord. I love you, and you are good. In the middle of everything I'm going through, you are good, and I worship you, and I bring out of the treasure of my heart my honor and my allegiance to you, King Jesus, Lord of my life. You'll find out later why some things happen, but in the meantime, when by faith you can do that, praise God. It is good. I think of that woman. I mean, she came through some stuff, and in the meantime, there's a tenacity in her too, just staying with it. Praise God. You know, I remember hearing that, just that other story that we read about that woman who was kind of extravagant in the way that she loved Jesus, and she kind of got in trouble a little bit from the religious crowd for how extravagant she was. You know, sometimes people have different demeanors about the way they may worship the Lord. But I'll tell you what, and I remember just, Lord, just check me. Don't judge. Don't be critical in judging people. You don't know where they've come from. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know the forgiveness and the joy and the appreciation, the deep appreciation they have for their salvation. Don't judge them, you know? It's a good reminder. And this woman, send her away. Come on, she's one of those crazies. Nope. She was somebody who really loved God. She was somebody who really wanted that freedom for her daughter to where she'd humble herself in the middle of things that she didn't understand and just say, God, here I am. And that's what we're doing here too. We're saying, Lord, we love you in the middle of all the stuff. Finally, the gift, you know, the gift on the Lord's list that he enjoys, that he appreciates, the one who has everything, is there's a gift of love. There's a gift of love that we can give. And this is described as the gift of a sweet fragrance. All right, if you want to give the Lord a good cologne, perfume, whatever you want to say it in the natural, this is one way we do that with the Lord, is love. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, insults, but instead be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters, and continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ, for he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God, like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. You think about what Jesus, Gethsemane, you know, what he did, going through what he did. He said, "It's the scripture says it was like a sweet healing fragrance." And so that's where we're challenged in verse 30 and 31. He said, has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. You'll find out that love is really, there's kind of two big parts to love. There's giving and forgiving. There's a giving that comes from the heart that really defines love. God so loved the world, he gave. But there's another big part of love, and that's also the forgiving. It's when we act like God. That's where it says, be imitators of God. We celebrate the love of Jesus and what he did and giving himself for the forgiveness of our sins. And then we're challenged. We can imitate what he did. Do you know how you can bless God? How you can move God? How you could give him something for Christmas this year that would bless him? Forgiveness, mercy, grace. Peter had a question about this one time. He asked Jesus. He said, Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. And here we have that picture of Jesus on the cross. When they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is love. This is total, on purpose, forgiveness. People don't deserve this. We didn't deserve his forgiveness. People don't deserve your forgiveness. You give it to them out of love. You forgive it even as. It's something that we do by faith to imitate God. But something we got to realize is that there is a blessing that comes from forgiveness. That may be another thing too. It's quite an admonition. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, insults. There's different things that we can get caught up in. And maybe even especially this time of year, as it relates to family and friends. Different things, narratives, and all that kind of stuff. But you know, you can bless the Lord. And one of the ways you can bless the Lord, again, is to be on purpose forgive. You might have a special little secret place time this year and say, Lord, I am going to forgive this person. When you forgive somebody, the same aroma that Jesus gave off in his sacrificial love, we give off that same aroma. We're imitators of God. He desires this. Now think about this. Gethsemane, sweating as it were great drops of blood, he said, my soul is exceedingly heavy unto death. This is not a feel-good thing, all right? This is where there can be things that are conflicting and you know, in your heart and your mind, and all you know is that he has said, lay aside the bitterness, the temper tantrums. And this is where I'm just going to, by faith, say, Lord, Merry Christmas. I'm going to forgive so-and-so on purpose, deliberately, as an act of my will, because I'm going to love, I'm going to be an imitator of you this year, Lord. I'm pulling this treasure out of my heart. I'm presenting a gift to the Lord. Again, down here, you're forgiving that person. By faith, down here, even as God in Christ has forgiven you, up there, it's a sweet-smelling aroma to him. In real time, in real time, it blesses the Lord when you forgive like he's forgiven. He receives that. It smells good to him. He goes, that's my child. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. I mean, you even kind of know this as a parent. You just appreciate peacemaking, you know? You appreciate, you know, children that can kind of work and, you know, that it can kind of go above some things and kind of work through. He sees us that in us that way too. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who wait for the wisdom that's from above. It's pure and peaceable and gentle. Who are forgiving. I'm going to forgive, Lord. I can't forgive on my own strength. I forgive because you've told me to forgive. You've put your love in my heart to forgive. And so I'm by faith. It may be a Gethsemane to you down here, but it's a sweet-smelling offering to him up there. Again, this is secret place stuff. This is stuff that's between you and him. But you, out of the treasures of your heart, have some things that you can give him on purpose. And like we said, Jesus said, who has my commandments and keeps them? It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. This is the Amplified. The person who has my commandments, and think about this commandment. What is his commandment? To forgive, even as. The person who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show, and I will show, reveal myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and will make myself real to him. In these places where you're saying, okay, Lord, here we go. I am going to obey your commandment of love. And I'm going to love. That is sacred to him. This is not about God loving you. Whether you keep his commandments or not, he loves you, right? While you were a sinner, he loved you. This verse is just talking about the way you love God, the way you bless the Lord. When you keep those commandments of love. Two commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor even as he has loved you. Those commandments of love, when you keep them, that's loving God. That's blessing him. So see that by faith. As you're worshiping God, as you're on purpose forgiving, he's receiving that aroma, that fragrance up there. Finally, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a blessing God that happens as a result of our giving. He says, and this is Corinthians, Paul admonishing, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. That is the joy of giving. The joy of giving is really, a lot of times it involves two thank yous. There's the thank you that usually involves two thank yous. There's a thank you that they'll say to you, thank you. But it's that second thank you when they look up and say, thank you, Father. That's what your giving does. Your giving can cause a person to joyfully express their thanks to God because they realize that God blessed them through you. And this, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. There is a blessing that comes through our giving. Not just the first thank you, it's that second thank you, where people's hearts are turned. It's amazing that you can give in such a way in real time that can bless somebody's heart and turn it toward God. That is how you can bless the Lord. Sometimes it's going to be through giving to other people. So as we're talking again this morning, just about the Christmas season, I just kind of want to turn it around a little bit and kind of take that wise men approach and just begin to think about this Christmas. Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord, that I can give you specifically? Lord, I want to bless you. I want to pull out of the treasure of my heart this year something on purpose and give something to you. It might just be a time of where you're just worshiping the Lord, just going into his presence. You know that when you worship him, he receives that worship. That worship blesses him. He is blessed by, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and power and majesty, redeemed us to God with his blood, made us kings and priests. There's that presence of worship. There's a joy of the Lord you get in the worship. In worship, you know why? Because he's blessed by it. And there's that sense of it's more blessed to give than it is to receive in that giving of worship. You know you've blessed. You've moved God. You moved him in a way that blessed him. Could be faith. It could be something in your heart that you've held on to that you just want to give to him. Say, here it is, Lord. I've been holding on to this, but today, this care is your present. I'm placing it in your hands. I'm casting this care upon you this Christmas. I'm giving it to you. If it tries to come back, Holy Spirit, remind me. I gave that away. I gave that as a Christmas gift. Praise God. It's going to stay there as your peace keeps my heart and mind to work things out. And then finally, the gift of love. There's going to be a giving and a forgiving that'll draw on your heart to be generous, to be kind, to be outgoing in terms of compassion, to be kind with forgiveness, to forgive, maybe on purpose to forgive. Somebody is a Christmas gift to the Lord, all right? And again, things come back, say, no, praise God. That was my gift to the Lord in 2021. That was my Christmas present. I know I've forgiven that person because I on purpose, deliberately, in real time, forgave that person. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you this Christmas season that we can have a time that we can on purpose know that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive and to open up the treasures of our heart and to give to you. And Lord, I just pray that over us this morning, that there would just be a generosity from our hearts to you, a generosity to bless you, to know that we can bless you. We can give you something you've always wanted from us. It might be a care. It might be forgiveness. It might be just a special one-on-one worship time to say thank you. Lord, you know what that is. I just pray for each one here that there would just be a special stirring in their heart, that they would see you're a person. You're a person who's capable of being blessed. You're a person who's capable of being moved to be amazed at a person's faith. You're capable. Lord, help us to see your person this Christmas season, to bless your person, to give of the treasures of our heart, things that you want, things that you desire. Oh, Lord, you know what that is. I just pray, speak to your precious people, and just draw, Father, from the treasures of their heart in this place. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. I want to give you from the treasures of my heart. Show me what you want. I will cast those cares that belong to you. I will forgive those people that you died for. And I will love, Lord. And I will show love. Heavenly Father, thank you. I bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So, receive that this morning. Just a special little admonition to know that as we give, we're blessed. And he calls us to give in a way that blesses us, sets us free, encourages us. Amen. Praise God.